For the ones who work hard to ensure their crew can always go the extra mile, and the ones who get in early so everyone can go home on time, there's Grainger, offering professional-grade supplies backed by product experts so you can quickly and easily find what you need. Plus, you can count on access to a committed team ready to go the extra mile for you. Call, click Grainger.com, or just stop by. Grainger, for the ones who get it done.
What is up, everybody? Thank you all for joining me on the latest Mortcast, part of the CSG Network. I'm, of course, your host, Jeff Morton. A couple topics today. The Denver Nuggets, as of this recording tonight, they'll be playing the Minnesota Timberwolves. You'll notice that I didn't record a podcast after the Nuggets lost to the Mavericks last second. Weird hook shot by Kyrie Irving. It wasn't worth talking about. The Nuggets played like garbage in that whole game, and that is exactly why they lost. We could get into the rebounding part of it, which was kind of interesting quote from Nikola Jokic after the game about how the second unit is so small. You could kind of draw some conclusions based on who he's referring to and who that comment's directed by Nikola Jokic's comments. But I honestly, there's not much to take away from that game. The grand scheme of things is the Nuggets just played like crap. Should have won the game, and there was no reason they needed to be down by like 10, 12 points going, you know, in the fourth quarter. It's just There just was no reason for that. They're a much better team than the Mavericks, and they let that one go, and they deserve to lose. So that's all I'm going to say about that game. So they're playing the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight for the first time since the first week of the season, which is insane. Absolutely insane when you think about it. I don't know if I've ever seen such a gap before. It's probably happened, but I don't recall having seen such a gap in who you play, going from the first week of the season to the last month of the season. It's pretty insane. So they're playing the Minnesota Timberwolves tonight, and then they will be playing them next week, and then the last week of the season, I think. And obviously, the Nuggets is going to be interesting, because the Timberwolves played in Utah last night. This is going to be a bad game for the rest-wise for the Timberwolves. The Nuggets need to take advantage of this. Three games against the Wolves is, I wouldn't say it's necessarily a proving ground, because honestly, I don't think the Nuggets are thinking about a specific opponent here. They made their statement games already, so the rest of the season is just about seeding, and as far as this affects seeding, the Nuggets need to win these games, and that's it. I don't think the Nuggets are using this as a measuring stick at all, particularly this game tonight, because this is the second night of a back-to-back. I think the next game in Denver will probably tell us more. Look, if the Nuggets lose this game tonight, it's on them. And this is kind of going in with the Mavericks game. You know, this Nuggets team is clearly, in my view, the best team in the NBA. And any losses they have are usually from a lack of focus, particularly that Phoenix game and the one against Dallas. There was no reason for the Nuggets to lose such focus as they did against the Mavericks. And the Nuggets should be locked in for in with this one. They'll have the rest advantage and something to prove coming into the game. We don't know if Rudy Gobert is going to play. So far, the Timberwolves have been playing without both Karl Anthony Towns and Rudy Gobert, and they've managed to win some games without them. Anthony Edwards had a big dunk last night that everyone, I'm sure, has seen by now. One that actually put John Collins, made him go out of the game, with a neck issue. So that tells you the strength of that dunk. There's a lot of things you could talk about with the Timberwolves, but to be honest with you, we don't know necessarily how this is going to look and how the Nuggets really look at themselves against the Timberwolves. Last year, they said that the toughest matchup in the playoffs was the Timberwolves. I tend to agree with that, mostly due to the size, but the Nuggets should have swept that series, which makes it an interesting kind of thing. You know, it's an interesting way to look at things, is how you look at how that series went last year, and they didn't have Jaden McDaniels. So you know, obviously this is a team that can put a big rangy defender on Jamal Murray, and much like when Jalen Suggs defended Jamal in the Orlando games, Jamal struggles against guys who are bigger than him and who can kind of harass him like that. And that's what the Wolves like to do. They tend to have Jaden McDaniels cover you past into your backcourt. And Jamal kind of, I wouldn't say it's a big struggle for him, but it is part of a thing that Jamal has to deal with, and a lot of Jamal's issues come from guys who are aggressive against him, who are big, not necessarily large, smaller guys. Jamal can deal with the Chris Pauls of the world and stuff like that, and guys who are smaller than him, but the guys who are bigger really tend to give him a lot of trouble. So really, truly, it's Jaden McDaniels who's the matchup problem for the Nuggets. And, you know, Naz Reid has really showed out really well since the Karl Anthony Towns has come down. Obviously, there is a reason that Tim Connelly gave him, you know, that contract. Naz Reid is a valuable defender, and Naz Reid is one of those guys who, not only defender, but a valuable center. And he hits threes, he can score, he can fill it up, and he can play with Rudy Gobert, and he can play in a second unit. There's a lot of versatility to Naz Reid. So it's not necessarily Anthony Edwards, who is probably going to be guarded by a combination of Kentavious Caldwell-Pope and Aaron Gordon. It really is Naz Reid and Jaden McDaniels. Naz Reid on the offensive side and Jaden McDaniels on the defensive side that are going to be the Nuggets' targets and right there, because I think Jokic is pretty much okay with whatever Rudy Gobert gives him. It's not necessarily something that he is really focused on. I really do think it's ancillary pieces. So those are the things to watch. Because the Nuggets play the Timberwolves three times in basically less than a month, we'll get an idea in almost in a series kind of way what's going on. Now, the scheduling this year has been bizarre, and a lot of that bizarreness of the schedule has a lot to do with the in-season tournament. And in the second half of the podcast, I'm going to kind of talk about that and some of the dopey things that Adam Silver is thinking up recently to make money for the NBA. And one thing was announced today that I want to get into. But the in-season tournament really kind of screwed up scheduling a lot. Some teams are playing an extra game, you know, the Bucks, the Lakers, the Pacers, and I believe the New Orleans Pelicans, like all those teams are ended up playing an extra game. And it is what that in-season tournament did, devoting that time and carving out the schedule like that. What it did was cause schedule makers to have to work extra around arena obligations and stuff like that. And I do believe that both the Timberwolves and the Nuggets share arenas with hockey teams, and that complicates things. And then you end up with things like the Nuggets playing a shitload of back-to-backs in the first part of the season, and then virtually none in the second part of the season. And you also have the Nuggets playing more games than anyone else in the first part of the season by a large margin, which greatly affected them. And you've seen since they got the rest at the All-Star break what they've been able to do. But more than that, it's because of this having to jerry-rig this in-season tournament in there. Then you end up with things like the Nuggets playing the Minnesota Timberwolves starting on the 19th, which is today, and then going all the way to the first week of April. So basically, it's 2.5 to 3 weeks where the Nuggets are cramming these games in with against the Minnesota Timberwolves, and it's just weird. It's weird because the in-season tournament. It's the weird quirk of the things. I mean, like the Nuggets ended their series with the Oklahoma City Thunder. I believe the last game they played was early February against the Thunder, and all the games were compromised for the Nuggets, right? Kind of like the Timberwolves will be when they play tonight against the Nuggets. So, I mean, look, quirks of scheduling aside, this Nuggets team, I don't sense they feel that they have a lot to prove against the Timberwolves. It's the Timberwolves who have a lot to prove against the Nuggets. You know, the Nuggets lost games against the Timberwolves last year in the regular season. And one thing that was absolutely clear about the way the Nuggets regarded it was that the regular season wasn't indicative with how they would play them in the playoffs, and that was definitely true. Nuggets had the advantage. They knew the ins and outs of the Timberwolves, and every game the Nuggets played against them in the regular season was on the second night of a back-to-back, well, three of the four games they played. And the one game they played with rest, the Nuggets blew them out. And that, I think, was indicative with how they approached this. Right now, since the Nuggets haven't played the Timberwolves since the first week of the season, I just don't think that there's you won't get a lot from this matchup, but you may get the next two. I wouldn't even say the last week of the season, because that's going to be depending on where the seeding is at right there. We'll see how both teams approach that. You're getting to the end of the year, and towards the end of the year, funky shit happens, and a lot of it has to do with teams resting guys for the playoffs, some teams deliberately tanking. So it's really hard to glean anything substantive from the last month of the season. But the Nuggets do have that one game at home against the Timberwolves, I believe, in a week. I think you'll learn more from that game than you will the other three games they play. That's the one I'm focusing on. This one, like I said, the Timberwolves are short on rest. They are missing some guys. And you probably will get more of an idea of what's going on when they play them in a week or so, because Gobert will probably be back. Karl Anthony Towns definitely will not be, but Gobert will be back, and you'll see how they can play with Naz Reid and Rudy Gobert. You know, look, Gobert may play tonight. Who knows? But we'll see. So, scheduling issues aside, it's going to be interesting to see how the Nuggets approach this. One of the things against the Mavericks was, as I pointed out at the beginning of the podcast, it's second unit size, and obviously that was something that Jokic was very focused on in the post-game comments, which was very, very notable. And I suggest you go check out Bennett Durando's Twitter. He's the post guy now. And he has the quote from Jokic, and it's something that's worth taking notice of, about how Jokic is thinking about these sorts of things, because it's interesting, because it's something I really had never thought about with second unit size. The team that has size definitely is the, even with Karl Anthony Towns out, is the Minnesota Timberwolves. Size at very specific positions, and this is how Tim Connelly has formed this team. So it's going to be interesting. Like I said, the Wolves are going to be tired second night of back-to-back. We'll see how this goes for them. But, you know, that game in a week or so will be the one to really focus on to see how things look for both teams. Or in the second half of the podcast, I'm going to talk about how Adam Silver continues to have dopey ideas, and how then he needs to really stop focusing on very specifically soccer in the or football in Europe, and how they approach things. But first, I want to talk to you about a Belanger Family Wines located between 18th and 19th in Blake and Wazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado. Just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block. They're always online at bfwcolorado.com. They're on Facebook and Instagram under Belanger Family Wines. Great time right now in fake spring. We are actually in spring, but it's now fake spring. So this is that time of year where, you know, the weather gets wacky, but there's always these pockets of time where the weather's great. Well, it's going to be like 65. We just had that snowstorm, so there's a crispness in the air, but it's like a good kind. So if you want to go down to Blanche Family Wines in the Dairy Block, I would suggest do it now because the atmosphere is great. It's one of my favorite places to go in Denver. Along with the atmosphere, it's great wine. So get to their Pinot, which is one I would suggest is very, very good. But they got a great cab. They got other selections of wines that are really good that you can try from Colorado. They have partnerships with Western Slope Wineries. So check all those out as well. They got a location in Golden. They got a location in Fort Collins. And, of course, their original location in Sonoma County, California. Once again, they're located between 18th and 19th in Blake and Wazee in beautiful lower downtown Denver, Colorado. Just a couple blocks away from Coors Field, right in the middle of the dairy block. They're always online at bfwcolorado.com. They're on Facebook and Instagram under Blanchard Family Wines. When you go in or you talk to them, tell them Jeff Morton from CSG Podcast sent you. Adam Silver has some really dopey ideas. And it's one of those things where I started noticing this a while back. And when they started floating the in-season tournament, if people remember this sort of thing, it was the in-season tournament floating thing was really shortly, I think it was 2021. It was during that shortened season, the 2021 season, coming off of the pandemic pause and whatever everything had happened. And one of the things the NBA does, and it's under Adam Silver, is it like collects a series of dopey ideas that really reek of being a gimmick. And if you are a fan of gimmickry, then obviously this next segment of this podcast is not for you. It came down today through The Athletic that the NBA is considering a betting option via League Pass. That would be the stupidest of stupid ideas, and I am not shocked that they are going this direction. One of the big influences of a lot of Adam Silver's decision making is what is Premier League soccer. What happens overseas in Europe and all these things. I'm not xenophobic. I think the NBA is a better league with having European players. This is nothing about the location. One of the biggest dopey things that a lot of countries in Europe have is free access to betting on a lot of different things. And what happens is betting and sports gambling tends to just pervade absolutely everything in the circle of influence, and it just becomes a transparent way to make money. And the NBA, specifically Adam Silver, was on the forefront of pushing the legalization of gambling. And I think a lot of that, I know, a lot of that had to do with the NBA trying to generate more avenues for getting income for the teams. The patches on the jerseys, that's something that was done, that is borrowed from the EuroLeague teams, in the EuroLeague basketball teams. A lot of these sponsored the over-the-top sponsorships and everything needing to have an identifiable sponsor, that's brought over from EuroLeague soccer. Everything is emblazoned with some sort of, this is Emirates stadiums, and like for Arsenal out there. Now we have that over here, but it's just like, it's more pervasive over there, and it's weird to think about. But a lot of the gimmickry stuff, like the in-season tournament and things like that, are just vehicles so Adam Silver can monetize it. And there's no real competitive reason for there to be any in-season tournament. It is entirely about monetizing a thing in the NBA. making it more viable during the early part of the season, because the NBA, like every other league that plays concurrently with the NFL, gets crushed. It is a fact of life. So and people say this is about getting competitive at the first part of the season. Honestly, I don't think that was the motivation. I think the motivation was, let's find something we can make money on, because the NBA is currently in a media rights negotiation, and those media rights are very important for the next 10 years of the direction of this adventure that we call the NBA. And a lot of that has to do with you wanting to sell different pieces of these things to multiple entities. One thing that has been very clear, and then the signal has been sent out for a long time, is that ESPN is not going to be as featured a part of NBA media as they have been in the past, since 2003. The NBA really cut off its nose to spite its face, because they should have gone the NFL model of having multiple different, like the NFL has NBC, ABC, CBS, Fox, and now has additional to that Amazon streaming, and the NFL Network has all these things that they are not beholden to one thing. The NBA went all in on ESPN and a little bit of Turner and hurt itself. So I fully anticipate in this next TV deal that the NBA is going to diversify in a big way, with streamers, with another network, with ESPN, with a probably reduced Turner. But these are the things that, and reduced NBA, ESPN. So they're going to be more diverse than they have been in the past. But a lot of the gimmickry that you have seen from the NBA is about monetizing pieces, and it's not about monetizing the whole thing, which is what the NBA has done before, which is all well and good. That could be reflecting a new reality of what we have seen with media, right? It's getting increasingly difficult to sell one, as a whole, unless you're the NFL. The Major League Baseball has struggled with this, and damn sure the number four of the four professional sports in major professional sports in the country, the NHL, has struggled with that in the last 30 years. There are things that you need to adapt to in the new reality. The NBA obviously has been sending signals that they'll be going to having a streaming option here. There's going to be a lot of things changing. But one of the things that has been frustrating is Adam Silver has taken the wrong lead, and he's trying to do a bunch of gimmicks in order to get the NBA more monetized. And a lot of these things are not necessarily based on competitiveness. They're not really based on maintaining integrity of things. And I'm putting aside the obviously foul emphasis thing that we've been talking about the last couple of podcasts. I'm just talking about tangible things like the in-season tournament and things like that. The play-in tournament. A lot of these things are deliberately done to monetize pieces. And the NBA, with this, if it's true, what's coming down via The Athletic, gambling on League Pass is opening up a can of worms that I don't necessarily think we want to be opening up. There's already a lot of degenerates in this country, and if having an easy access via League Pass gambling option that is quasi-state sponsored, even though it's not, because League Pass is run by Turner, is a dangerous territory. In my view, because we already, I mean, I'm not a moralistic person. I don't gamble myself, but I have no issue with it. But, you know, there's people out there who legitimately have gambling problems. And opening the door to this sort of thing could be a Pandora's box that you just don't want to face. The NBA, I'm sure, is seeing that they're trying to get ahead of what they see as the NFL. And generally, the NBA has been a league that is ahead of most of the other leagues in terms of innovation and stuff like that. Nine times out of ten, the NFL waits for the NBA to do something first in order to see if it works. So this could be something that the NBA is getting ahead of the NFL if this, like I said, if this comes to pass. And so they can, you know, their league pass, they have an NFL red zone, right? So maybe they're experimenting with an easy gambling option with that sort of thing in red zone, via red zone. But if the NBA does it first, they'll be able to see if something is viable. And it is something that is a Pandora's box. It is a veritable slippery slope. You don't necessarily want to open up an ease of access gambling option. And the NBA has always been at the forefront of this. They were the ones who were pushing hardest, and actually the NFL was lagged well behind the other sports leagues in terms of what the desire to open up gambling to this sort of thing. Even Major League Baseball, which had a history of gambling issues, Pete Rose and the like. And so the NBA has always been at the forefront of wanting to do this, very specifically Adam Silver. But the problem is the more you open it up to gambling, the more you open up questions. And people are already questioning a lot of things that have to do with rules changes and all this stuff based on what has been happening in the NBA and now linking that to gambling. And you open yourself to a lot of different questions if you go this route. If you if you ease access, if you make access super, super, super easy to gamble on your own sport, you open yourself up to a lot of different things that maybe necessarily you don't want to. You know, in the heady days of 2007, when the whole Tim Donaghy thing came down, the NBA did its best to sweep that under the rug. Imagine David Stern in 2007 and this whole thing happening at the same time. If gambling was legal back then and all that stuff, it would have been 10 times worse. So the NBA needs to be careful. The NBA needs to not outsmart itself and not continue a lot of dopey ideas, which they've done. Obviously, once again, the monetization of little pieces rather than the whole, trying to sell off a lot of things to make a bigger pie, can blow up in your face. And as of right now, there are some things that are coming down the pike here, particularly this ease of access, the gambling via NBA League Pass is questionable. And I am not comfortable with it personally, but it's not a moral thing. It's just, if I was running something, I wouldn't want to open myself up to that sort of thing. So anyway, all right. Thank you all for joining me on the latest Morecast. I'm going to be back on, it's Tuesday. You know, I'll probably have one Friday and another episode coming then.